Hey KU fans, welcome back to another episode of the Recruiting Trail here at KUSports.com. I'm your host, Matt Tate, and you know what? You're pretty lucky because you got a couple of Matts here today. Our newest recruiting insider, Mr. Matt Scott. You might have seen him on his blog, Recruiting Scoop with Matt Scott. You might know him as TheShiver.com. You might know him as a lot of things that we can't even talk about. But Matt, we're glad to have you at KUSports.com. We're glad to have you on this podcast. How are you feeling tonight?
Yeah, I feel great. Ready to get this going. Have a nice discussion here. And I know with late night quickly approaching, people are starting to wonder what recruits are going to be in the house and what visits are starting to get lined up and all that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah, so late night is September 28th, Friday night, and we're quickly approaching a month out. I would imagine that a lot of people are calling that football season still, but I would imagine for these class of 2019 and 2020 guys and all that, they're probably not too worried about football season right now, are they?
Probably not, no. They're probably starting to get their school year going and, you know, doing their workouts, focusing on getting better, getting ready for the season. And some of them that are seniors now are trying to get visits scheduled and get done. And if they want to commit before their season starts, they want to get them out of the way quickly. If they think that they're going to be, you know, in the spring, they might string them out a little bit. But all those plans really start to come together now, especially now that these guys are finishing up with any All-Star games or camps they might have gone to here in the past week or two.
Sure, yeah. So normally late night's a pretty long list. You've got obviously some of the guys in the current class each year that are pretty important guys, some of them on official visits, quite a few of them really. But you've got, you know, two, three classes out, guys that are at late night on unofficial visits. I think the best example of that is Marquise Jacobs. A couple of years ago was here on an unofficial visit for late night. He's a 2019 point guard. He's the only 2019 commitment they have right now. And he committed right after that as a, what, sophomore or something? So are we going to see something like that? I mean, is it going to be the list of, you know, 19, 20 guys again? Or is it going to be a little smaller list this year? Do you have any feel for that yet?
Well, here's the thing. Is Kansas fans are really used to that. They're used to a great number of recruits. And to be quite honest with you, especially locally or in the Midwest, we've had a lot more talent than in the area than we've seen in the past few years as well. So with that in mind, they could bring those guys in pretty easily. And this year they still might with a guy from Overland Park like Christian Braun, who's right, starting his senior year right now, whose recruitment is starting to pick up. And he certainly has a lot of interest in Kansas and is waiting to see where that goes. But so locally, and you got in Folly Dante, the 2020 kid that's down there in Wichita going to Sunrise Academy. So the local talent is a little bit better here over the last few years. It was even better. You got Mark Mitchell, who's now going to Bishop BH, who is a freshman at Bishop BH. I know it sounds young, but like you just mentioned, Marquise Jacobs committed at late night, the beginning of his sophomore year. So you got a kid like Mark Mitchell at Bishop BH. You used to have Jeremiah, obviously, now at IMG, Jeremiah Robinson Earl. You had Zach Harvey in for a number of years, who's now out west at Prolific Prep. So it's a lot of different things like that that could kind of factor into it. Not to mention that, frankly, late night has, you know, these guys all talk, and recruits talk to each other, and late night has a buzz. One guy goes one year, he tells somebody that's younger, like, oh, yeah, Kansas, you know, you go to their late night, it's crazy, it's awesome. And that makes other kids want to attend for that night if they're going to visit Kansas. That's one of the nights that they want to go to. But if you look at it on the other side, Matt, if you're a coach and you have five, six guys that are officially visiting all at once, it's not that easy to divide the time that you are allowed to spend with them to make sure that those guys are getting enough time during their visit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, the royal treatment, right? I mean, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, and a lot of that time is spent by them getting to know you getting to know them, that kind of thing. Now, if you're unofficially visiting, if you're an underclassman and you're unofficially visiting, and they have already so many guys that are already in, and they have unofficially, and they have a number of guys that are officially visiting, that cuts down on that time even more, and you don't even have 48 hours. You have the time that you're there. That's it. Just that one night for late night. So it makes it even a smaller window of opportunity to spend time, you know, getting to know anybody that you wanted to ask questions to about the school, about the program, anything like that. So it's really difficult to have that many guys in at once and be able to spend the quality time that you want to. Now, if you bring a select few in just for that night, you are allowed to spend a lot more time because it just opened your window up to spend more time with them. Not to mention that some kids now are wanting to, you know, hey, I'm going to come in for a specific game because I want to see a game atmosphere or, you know, whatever the case may be. And that allows, you know, them to come in. And oftentimes that, you know, like we saw with Andrew Wiggins come in, that they're there by themselves, the only visitor. And that allows for more time for them as well to spend with the staff and ask questions and academic advisors and everything that goes into an official visit.
Yeah, it's funny you say that about the local, you know, Midwest type talent. I was, for whatever reason, I'm not even sure why I was doing this, but the other day I was flipping through our site and I saw a picture of Zion Williamson from his visit to late night, and you know, he was obviously the focal point of the photo. It was right after the fans and the student section had just chanted his name, and he was giving them a wave. You know, he clearly, even though he picked Duke, he clearly enjoyed his visit to KU. There was nothing not to like for that. But there, sitting a row behind him, kind of off to the side, was Malik Hall. And you know, I know that Malik Hall just last week announced that he, you know, had a Final Five and Kansas wasn't on it, but it was just funny because I, you know, I, at the time I was all about Zion, and you look at the picture and you see Zion, and now here over the course of the last year, you Malik Hall, there he is, you know. So those guys, even Marquise Jacobs, like you said, when he was a sophomore, I mean, you know, they blend in so well because there's always one or two big time guys that you know, front and center, the main guy, the biggest focal point of that class, or their top priority, or the big name that the students and the fans all know. So I just thought that was hilarious that I you know, a year ago I didn't even notice Malik Hall in the photo, barely even knew who he was, and this year I'm looking at the photo and that's the guy that jumps out at me. So it was wild. Do you have any feel for who the biggest targets they might have in this year are? I mean, is it too early for that, or do you have a feel?
It's still too early. Nothing set in stone. I would probably think, you know, maybe Jeremiah Robinson Earl might, and the reason why I say that is because he is someone that would rather get all the visits done and make his decision sooner than later.
Sure.
And late night is a perfect opportunity for that, even though he's been there. But it's hard to say, oh, well, he's been to late night, he's been to a game, why does he do it? Well, because the official visit is still different than just coming up for a game or coming up for late night for a night. It is still different. And even though he's been, you know, going to Kansas games since, you know, early on in life, that doesn't make a difference. It's still a chance to really talk about things, and that's someone that, you know, he's getting recruited by, you know, North Carolina, for example, that is probably Kansas's toughest competition when it comes to Jeremiah Robinson Earl, and he's probably going to ask both staffs how they foresee using him, what's his role, you know, things like that, and it's going to allow him to have a lot of time to do that and discuss that with those guys. I would probably say that he might be the main guy that comes in for that event. You know, don't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if some other guys pop in. You know, there might be some guys that have always wanted to go to late night, and that's the night that they want to do it, and they've planned that. But I would say he's going to be probably the main focal point as far as fans are concerned about the guys coming in possibly for that event. And I wouldn't doubt if that comes out here, you know, if a decision made on a visit date comes out sooner than later as well, because like I said, he's trying to get that wrapped up as fast as possible.
Yeah, well, and these guys are human too, and it's human nature to want to go and feel the love and be spoiled and all that, and there's no better place for a recruit than late night for that. So even though he's been here and done that and seen it a billion times, it's different, you know, when you're the guy that they're chanting for. I mean, last year, was he here last year? Do you remember?
Yeah, he was.
Okay, so last year he was there. He got to see Zion get his name chanted for him, and there's no doubt that just as a competitor and as a human being, he, of course, he would love it if they chanted for him. And then, you know, Lil Yachty was here last year, so maybe you get to come and check out another act. They haven't announced one yet, but I know they'll get one, and that's been a big part of what they've been trying to do here lately with their late night entertainment. Get some kind of big time musician or rapper or hip hop guy or whatever that's going to attract the attention of these kids too, and you know, really make a whole night of it. So that'll be cool.
I thought that was us.
What's that?
I thought that was us, the entertainment.
Wow. Oh my gosh! Well, it depends on who you're talking to. There's definitely some entertainment value with us, but I don't think, you know, as old as we are now, I don't think we speak to the kids quite the same. I mean, we can. Don't get me wrong. You know, we're especially you. You know, you're out there doing it. You're at the tournaments, filming these games, filming their dunks. They love seeing you. So you know, you got one up on me there. But that might be about it. I don't know. We'll have to debate that off the air. But
and I will say, we've already seen some of you. And they're like tonight, Samuel Williamson. And for everybody, that is Samuel with two L's. I know it's different, but there it is. Samuel Williamson scheduled to come for Labor Day weekend. And of course, Trey Mann, who we discussed earlier this week, is visiting, I think it's September 21st.
Yeah.
How do you like that? And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see a Marquise Jacobs come in for his official visit, which has got to be odd 2 years later to come back. They haven't, nothing scheduled for guys like Chandler Lawson. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes in. He's related to a couple guys on the team. I don't know if you've heard,
but
he comes in with his family. Yeah, and Oscar Shebue. I probably mispronouncing that, but I tried.
They just call him Oscar anyway. Everybody out there does. So
everybody just calls him Oscar. There's nothing set up with him yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if we hear about a visit date set up for him as well. And like I said, it's gonna, you know, some of these guys are probably gonna end up coming in for late night. Some of them won't. We have, you know, Zeke from Minnesota that plays with Matt Hurt. He's kind of on an unofficial visit tour right now, but I wouldn't be surprised if it circles around and he checks out Kansas. Now, Matt Hurt, who's been for late night as well, I would think it's more likely that he comes for a game sometime during the season and gets a little bit more of that, more time with the staff with himself as well.
Yeah, well, that's interesting, because there's no doubt, if you've been following along at all, that Jeremiah and Matt Hurt are you know, right there, 1 and 1A or 1A and 1A or however you want to classify it. I mean,
I don't think it matters, because they can play together. They could play, you know, they're very different.
Right.
And I think that they would play well together, just like Zeke as well, who's more of a, you know, a 6'10". You know, rebounder, shot blocker guy that can do a lot of different things in the paint, where Jeremiah can stretch a defense, more kind of a Markieff Morris mold, if you want to say, or Marcus Morris, because they're twins. I don't know if you've heard
well.
And then, you know, Matt Hurt can play, you know, the three, he can play the four, he can play wherever he wants, really. He's that good. And both of them are really guys that could hurt defenses in multiple spots, which is great, because if anybody's really paying attention to Coach Self, and I know that you do, the guy likes interchangeable parts.
Well, yeah, there's no doubt. And especially after the last couple of years, I mean, one of the biggest things that he has kind of enjoyed with this four-guard lineup and the approach that they've taken the last couple of years is that it spreads the floor so much. And so that doesn't mean that he wants to play small. That doesn't mean that he wants to go away from big guys. But if you get the situation like he kind of has this year, and certainly like he would have if he's able to land Robinson Earl and Matt Hurt, you get big guys that can stretch it and play in space and spread the floor and play in perimeter, you know, like Dedrick Lawson's going to do. That's the best of both worlds for Self. I mean, you get the big bodies that you love, but you also get guys that can spread it and just really make it hard on the defense. So that's the deal. There's no secret behind why he loves those two guys and why he's going after them hard, because, you know, that's the type of player that he would love to have here, and he has had some of those guys, but I think as the game changes a little bit too, he's kind of identifying that as one of the biggest parts about changing with it.
And then, you know, to be honest, you hear a lot of people talk about his high low. What nobody ever mentions is that you don't hear a lot of high low when he doesn't have the guys to run it the way he wants to run it.
Right.
When he has those dudes, that's when you hit it. That's when you run it. And that's why you hear it a lot when he has those guys. And I've never understood why there's not a commentator that's not talking about that, because there are years that he just doesn't do that as much as he has with the years that he has the guys to do it. And you need the Johnnies in order to run certain things.
Yeah, great point. That's a great point. Well, let's get back to these guys that are visiting, you know, soon or have visits set up. We'll obviously jump in. We're going to try to do this every week, this recruiting trail podcast, at least, you know, with some regularity, but hopefully every week. So we'll have time to get to late night visitors as they sort of figure it out and line it up and all that stuff. But you mentioned Samuel Williamson. He's got that September 1st visit. Obviously, they'll bring him to the KU football game, the opener, all that stuff. First of all, what do you think about Williamson's game? And then also, where do you think KU stands? And before we get into that, I mean, you have to remember this is an interesting class, this 2019 group, because right now they don't know how many they need, right? I mean, you could see, you know, you're going to lose Vic, so there's one spot. You have one open since they didn't fill Cunliffe's spot. Udoka's probably going to be gone. Dedrick Lawson could be gone. Silvio could be gone. Quentin Grimes could be gone. I mean, that's five or six spots right now, but you don't know. And so they kind of have to recruit with the idea that they need a big haul, but they also have to recruit with the idea of, you know, well, we don't want to go crazy because we might not have all those spots to give. So I think that's important to remember, and it kind of puts them in a little bit of a tough spot, especially when they've identified a couple of those guys that we already talked about as their sort of top targets. You do not want to miss on those guys if that's who you feel like you're going after most.
Yeah, and you almost have to go into it this time of year as, well, we could lose everybody or we could lose only a few guys.
Right.
Because it's really kind of like that. And the reason why I say everybody is, what if they go deep in March? We all know that if you get hot at the right time, your NBA stock goes up. And it's an opportunity to leave because you got hot in March.
Sure.
So, you know, we don't know how good, you know, all reports are Devon Dotson's going to be just ridiculous.
Well, yeah, that's a guy I didn't mention, and he would be a perfect example of leading a team as the point guard to a title game or a title or a Final Four run. I mean, that would put him on the radar of the NBA draft, no doubt. He's already there. Let's be honest. I mean, he's already on their radar. He's not a projected first rounder next year as of now or anything crazy like that, but you have a good year, you do it for Bill Self, you do it at a place like Kansas, and you turn in a run like that, it changes things quickly for sure. So, yeah, there's another guy on top of the guys I already mentioned that could go.
And to put it in perspective for people is that think about how good Devontae and Frank were their senior year. Devon is well beyond them at the same point in their career right now.
Great point. Yeah, as true freshmen, basically, yeah.
Yes. And it's hard for people to understand that because your memory is what you last saw Devontae and Frank as. But if you think back to what they were as freshmen, now think of someone that is well beyond that level. So you're thinking, how good is he going to be? Which is, there's a very high ceiling for him, which is another great Coach Self recruiting thing, is that he likes guys that still have a lot of room left in their ceiling, and they're not close to peaking, and he's one of those guys. Quentin Grimes arguably was, you know, probably one of the, as far as all-around tools, one of the best players in the class towards the end of the spring and summer and the All-Star games and Team USA, somebody that could really do it all. I've heard reports that his passing is so underrated. Nobody really talks about it, but he's a terrific passer. So I'm excited to see him. So, yeah, you're right. You could see a lot of guys that are done after this year, or you could see a few guys coming back. It really all depends on what happens throughout the year. You can go into it expecting who's going to leave or who you think is going to leave, but that doesn't always necessarily work out that way, as you mentioned. So it does make it difficult. With Samuel Williamson, he's a guy about 6'7", long, skinny. He's a good shooter. He can shoot from the outside, but really what stands out when you watch him is he's got a great little thing that he does that is it's almost unguardable. And the reason why I say almost is because the only reason it's guardable is when he misses.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen very often. But he can back down his defender, and his turnaround step-back jump shot is just, it's butter. It's a pro move, and it's one of those things that you watch and you say, no matter the level of basketball, that is unstoppable. I don't care if you're in the NBA, I don't care if you're in college, whatever the case may be, that is an unstoppable, and not a lot of guys have it. A lot of guys can do a step back, but that doesn't mean it's going in, or it's pretty, or it's, you know, anywhere close to, you know, they might hit one out of seven or something like that. This guy is almost automatic from the mid-range. Very impressive. He's a good athlete. He's long, and he's someone that could certainly come in and help the program out pretty early with his shooting ability. And, you know, he's still got to get a little bit stronger, but that comes in time. There's nothing wrong with being a typical high school senior and not being as strong as you need to be.
Yeah,
but
we forget
happened.
That sometimes. When you see a guy like Silvio De Sousa come in and he looks like that, you think, well, that's what they all look like. And no, it's just not. I mean, that guy isn't. Same with McCormick. I mean, those guys are just absolute freaks physically. So, yeah.
Yeah, and in high school, when you see them with their high school teammates, Ochai is a good example. When you saw him playing against high school kids, he looked physically bigger, stronger than those guys. And you see him in a college, you know, you see him at KU, and you're like, wow, he looks smaller than
all. He looks like a kid. Who's the kid out there? Yeah, right.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
And that's just maturing and getting hootified.
There you go. Nice word. Nice. Is that a verb there? That's good. So, yeah, well, cool. Williamson sounds like a guy then that really would be I guess, almost a non-factor in terms of how it would impact Hurt and Jeremiah and those guys. I mean, this is a guy, they're going to take him as a wing. It doesn't really impact anything that happens up front with those other targets, does it?
No, and not necessarily as a wing either. He's a guy that you could put at the two spot if you wanted to, especially depending on what lineup you're running out there. And as we've seen in the past few years, he kind of runs out whatever he thinks is the toughest matchup for the opponent. So, yeah, you could put him out there or something like that. In terms of Matt Hurt, for example, when Josh Jackson was here, I know that he played throughout the season. He played the 1 through 4. There was one game he played the 1 through 4 in one game.
Yeah,
and I believe it might have been the UAB game at Sprint Center, if I remember correctly.
I could be wrong. That sounds right.
That's similar to what you could do with Matt Hurt, and he's offensively, as far as pureness, pure shot, being able to, you know, a shooter, he's well more advanced than Josh. And he's a really good athlete as well. Josh was probably bigger, stronger physically, better probably defender potentially, but, his ability to score purely is probably ahead of where Josh was at that point, but it is something that you could run with him as well. You know, kind of like you'll see it similar with Dedrick. He's not as big as Dedrick, but we'll probably see some similarities this year as well with Dedrick Lawson, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about Trey Mann. Trey Mann's really an interesting deal. This was a kid who not that long ago wanted to announce his college choice on July 30th. That was the plan. And he had narrowed it down to a final three of Kansas, Tennessee, and Florida. And then decided to hold off, and I think part of the reason he held off was because he started getting some interest from North Carolina, and next thing you know, now he's got a Final Four, more or less. He hasn't exactly named it Final Four, but he's opened it back up, and those seem to be the four that are most in it. And just this week, he announced a couple of visit dates. He's going to go to Carolina on the 14th of September. He's going to come to Kansas on the 21st of September, and he's going to host the KU staff, or at least a couple of the coaches, September 10th or something like that in his in-home visit. So, Trey Mann, a point guard from the Villages, Florida. What more do you know about him? Where do you think KU stands in the hunt for Trey Mann? Pretty electric, pretty dynamic, athletic, quick guard.
Yeah, I would put him more of kind of the scoring guard than a pure point guard mode. But here's the interesting thing. You know, Kansas is going to go in on September 10th. I think Tennessee goes in the night before, which means Carolina is going to go in, you know, either one of those days as well. He visits Carolina a week before Kansas. one thing that I would always tell people in recruiting is pay attention to that stuff. Because if you make it from them visiting, you know, one of your biggest competitors, and they make that visit, your chances do go up. It might go 5%, but it might go up 50% because he didn't commit at the visit before. And that is always a good sign. And you get somebody on campus, that could change everything. And the reason why I say that is because I think a lot of the thought right now is that Carolina probably is a heavy favorite. And it's pretty easy why people would jump to that conclusion, because you mentioned it. He had a final three, a Florida, Kansas, I think it was Tennessee, is that right?
Right.
In May, late May. And then he reopens his recruitment in July, and then all of a sudden you see Carolina, NC State, Miami, all these schools that start offering, and the interest is, you know, starts going up again. So I think that, and when Carolina came in, I think that's where people really were like, okay, that's what Carolina, you know, that's what he's really hoping for, is to get a North Carolina offer. So you can understand why people would jump to that conclusion. So I would pay attention those days after that visit. If he hasn't committed to Carolina, I think that there's a lot more interest in Kansas than what people think, if that makes sense to you.
Oh, for sure, yeah. And I think that's something that's kind of happening, right? I mean, North Carolina, blue blood school, Hall of Fame coach, it's no surprise that they have some of the biggest targets on their wish list as well, and that the feelings are mutual. But we were talking about this a little bit ago. You know, North Carolina seems to really trying to build a power class in this 2019 group. I think partly because that's what they do. They're Carolina, just like Kansas, just like Kentucky, just like Duke. It's just how things go. But at the same time, I think they need to. And I know that they really need to restock that roster. So what do you feel, just quickly? People don't want to be bored with the Carolina talk, and for obvious reasons. But at the same time, it's worth noting, don't you think, that Carolina's a major, major player in all of these guys? I mean, certainly with Jeremiah, certainly with Matt Hurt, certainly with Trey Mann here. I mean, this is a Carolina could be a force to be reckoned with in 2019.
It's something that I actually pointed out to another recruiting guy, that a national guy that I know pretty well, is that I said quietly they are working to build one of the more loaded classes that we've seen in years. They only have two commits right now, with Jeremiah Francis and Armando Bacot. But here's the thing, is Armando is Jeremiah's roommate at IMG. You know, he's committed to North Carolina. You got Trey Mann. You have, Josh Green, another Kansas recruit, who's at IMG as well. You have Wendell Moore, who's a small forward, who's from North Carolina. Matt Hurt, who we've discussed, and Jeremiah, they're interested in Vernon Carey as well, who might be tougher to get with Bacot there, but you got, and Will Baker. So it's, to me, they're quietly trying to, but it's almost, they could have, potentially, I'm not saying that they will, but potentially they could have three guys just from IMG's current team on there. Which is unbelievable.
Right, right. And that's part of it. Those guys, like, they get the opportunity to bond and plan and scheme and think about their futures and playing together in college. And there's nothing wrong with that strategy. I think it's a solid strategy. And if you can pull it off, even better.
And one thing I will point out as well is a lot of people have just assumed that Duke leads for Cole Anthony. Don't be surprised if UNC is right there, or maybe even a little ahead on Cole Anthony. And that could, he's at Oak Hill right now for his senior year. And so that could really play a factor as well. To me, it's unbelievable that they're after so many guys that are up there in the rankings. And really, Carolina's done fine in recruiting, but they haven't had one of these power classes like we've seen the Kansas and the Kentucky and the Duke have over the past few years. They've had good classes. I wouldn't call them, you know, the mega-loaded classes. And quietly, it seems that that's what they're working on right now. And if you're a Kansas fan, you're really hoping that IMG has the worst season of all and those guys can't play together at all this year.
That would help. Yeah, that would make it hard to want to stick together, right? I know Bacot, what's his story? He's a big he's 6'10", 6-something. He's a big guy, right?
Big guy, yeah, and he's a great, great low post scorer, back to basket scorer, got a nice touch, can block some shots. He's really good.
Yeah,
and they,
He's Jeremiah's roommate. Is that right?
Yeah. When you're still at Carolina, if I'm recruiting against them, this is just me, but if I'm recruiting against them, I just look at it and be like, name me big guys that they've put in the pros here lately.
Yeah.
Name them.
Yeah. Right. Good point.
You can't.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And the only reason I bring him up, he's already decided he's going to Carolina, so we don't need to break him down. But he's been very aggressive out there talking about he's going to recruit Cole Anthony, and he's going to recruit Jeremiah. And he's not only is Carolina trying to build that power class, but the big guy's trying to help him. And that's what you get with an early commitment.
Yeah, and with a guy like Jeremiah, there are ties. You know, Roy coached his dad, Lester. Roy was here when his mom was at KU. You got Brad Frederick there, whose dad is the former AD at Kansas at that time. There are a number of ties there as well, and he's known those guys for a long time as well. So, but what you want to say is the guys that have a game like Jeremiah have done far better at Kansas than they have at Carolina.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, you mentioned Josh Green real quick. Let's talk about him, and then we'll get out of here for this run. Green's a guy that, if I remember right, he thought about reclassifying. I don't know if he still is, but he thought about it, didn't he? And where does he stand? What's his game? What do you like about him? And maybe where does Kansas fit in there?
I think a lot of guys think about it, but it doesn't always work out that well. But he's someone that's got his final six out. Kansas, of course, did make that list. I think, if I remember right, Arizona, North Carolina, I want to say Villanova. I might be missing a few. USC and UNLV, I think. That's just off the top of my head. I think I'm right there.
Yeah, so here's the deal. Real quick, let me interrupt you. If I'm a big-time player, and I can go anywhere I want, more or less, my list is going to have Hawaii on it. It's going to have USC. It's going to have Arizona State. It's going to have Texas. It's going to have UNLV. You just mentioned Vegas. Why the heck not? That's what blows my mind. It's amazing that these places that I just named don't just land all the talent because of all they have to offer. But obviously they don't have the tradition and the chance of winning and all that. But, man, it wouldn't take much to get me to go to any of those schools.
No, and last year I had the opportunity to drive by Pepperdine. And, wow, going to class there would not suck, I can tell you that.
I think Pepperdine is the best campus on the face of the earth. I think where Joe Dooley was at Florida Gulf Coast is right there with it. Those campuses are incredible. Same sort
if
of.
If you're the coach at Pepperdine and you're coaching basketball, every kid that visits Gonzaga, I would have them visit Pepperdine the next week. They're in the same conference.
Right.
The very next week, and I would just be like, so, do I need to say anything?
Yeah, how about our place? What do you think of this view? Yeah.
I mean, come on. Yeah, it's ridiculous. But Josh, he's probably going to take his visits. I wouldn't be surprised if he will. Carolina is, again, the favorite there as well. Coach Townsend's done a great job. And I forgot to mention Coach Howard's done a great job with Samuel Williamson as well. I know a lot of people thought Arizona early on, but I wouldn't be surprised if he takes a little bit more time. Yeah, I'd be surprised if he committed early. It's probably a better way to say it. But he is a high flyer, highlight reel. He's got a pretty good all-around game, but I mean, when you see him take off, it's a sight to see. He's got incredible jumping ability, originally from Australia as well. He's someone to keep your eye on. But again, what if Quentin Grimes is back for a second year? You also have, KJ could be here. Ochai's here. Who, by the way, all reports are that he's doing great and going to be a big factor, and maybe not so much his freshman year, but he could be.
Yeah.
And, of course, the sophomore, junior year is somebody that is really taking off, and they might have found the steal of the 2018 class with him. And luckily it was, 40 minutes away from their campus, but they feel that he could be a pretty good player as well. And so you got a number of guys So it might be harder to, when you're bringing in guys, to find somebody that is interested in coming, even though you're already kind of stacked at that position, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. And Marcus Garrett's another one we didn't mention. So,
Marcus Garrett is going to be a baller. I love his game. And I'm excited to see where he goes over the next couple of years as well.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, that's if there's any negative to recruiting at Kansas, that's it. You've got loaded roster year after year after year. It is hard to convince all these top guys that there's room for them. But a lot of these top guys, they believe they can play anywhere. They believe they're better than anybody, and that's what's cool about them. That's part of the reason they're elite-type talents, and part of the reason they're welcoming these challenges of going to these types of places and things like that. So good breakdown for now. We'll obviously keep an eye on those late-night visits. We'll keep an eye on
those. Would you like some breaking news?
Yeah, sure.
Chandler Lawson will be at late night.
Chandler Lawson will be at late night. You heard it here.
Just texted me.
Okay, good stuff. Well, there you go. It's an easy one for him because he can come see his brothers. He can bring his family. I mean, that's not too crazy, not too hard. But
not to mention that Jonathan Lawson, his younger brother. So,
well, unless they're going to leave him home alone, right? Like Macaulay Culkin, or, whatever. But no, I think that's big news. And you can't say it's not a significant development. I mean, just because he's brothers or he's a brother of these guys, it doesn't mean anything. I mean, it's still a top type of talent in a class that's loaded. And anytime you can get a guy like that to make an official visit to your place, that's big news.
Absolutely, especially with Penny now at Memphis, who's going to do a great job recruiting. They're trying to get Matt Hurt as well, a former NBA great. You got Mike Miller on that staff as well. So obviously, leaving home would be a big deal. It's not like it was before where the losses decided to come because there was a coaching change during their time there. They decided to come then. Memphis is doing some pretty good things recruiting-wise, and still there's interest in Kansas for the younger Lawsons.
Yeah, I love it. I got to admit, I think I'm very fascinated by the Penny Hardaway Memphis experiment, and just to see. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that he's going to turn that thing into, I don't know if they'll be a powerhouse, but they got a chance, and they're going to be good, and they're going to be a factor,
and it helps that they play in a conference that no one else could really be that kind of power.
No doubt, that helps a lot, but it also helps to have those two guys that you just mentioned. Because what is the one thing that all these kids have in common that doesn't matter where they sign or where they commit? They all want to play in the NBA. And you get to go play for Penny, who did it at an incredibly high level, and then Mike Miller, who did it for 100 years.
And LeBron's boy.
Yeah, was LeBron's boy, did it when he couldn't even walk sometimes. I mean, all that stuff. So good stuff. Lots of names, lots of dates, lots of visits to keep an eye on, and of course, late night crawling closer, and that list will grow as we move on here. Matt, real quick, one name that, let's assume we're going to do this again next week, one name that people should keep in their minds between now and the next time we do a Recruiting Trail podcast, what's the one guy? And we might have already mentioned him, but if you're someone listening, who's the one guy you should keep your ears open for over the next 6-7 days?
Probably JRE. Jeremiah Robinson Earl is probably the guy I would say. I don't know if it'll be in the next 7 days, but it could be pretty quick. It might be the next day. I don't know. But
as far as setting up his visits, right?
I would expect, like we mentioned, the local guys, 2020 point guard Ty Berry, I would expect to be at late night, who's going to be one of the best prospects in the area, in the region, if not the country. So guys like that as well, but I would think that JRE, as far as this 2019 class, is probably a guy to definitely keep an eye on for some news breaking here in the next week or so.
Very cool. You heard it right there from Matt Scott. You can follow him on Twitter at KUTheShiver. You can also follow him on KUSports.com with his Recruiting Scoop with Matt Scott blog. He's got stuff up there every week, a few times a week, just basically whenever things happen. So you can see the Samuel Williamson news up there now. He'll probably have the Chandler Lawson news up there before I can even edit this. So lots of good stuff happening in the recruiting world, and it's time. It's about to get hot. Matt, thanks for the time tonight, and we'll do another one real soon.
Sounds good.
All right, that's Matt Scott. I'm Matt Tate. We'll talk to you guys again real soon on another episode of the Recruiting Trail here at KUSports.com.